Welcome to the New Yorker's August 1st, 2011 issue. We have six articles for you. In the talk of the town, Oliver Sacks writes about horse tails in the hood. Then, Suketu Mehta reports on the lies illegal immigrants must tell to stay in America. Next, Wendell Stevenson writes about why Egyptian protesters are back in Tahrir Square. Then, Hendrik Hertzberg reports on a new history of Britain's role in the American Civil War. And finally, in the current cinema, David Demby reviews two romantic comedies, Crazy Stupid Love, starring Steve Carell, Julianne Moore, and Ryan Gosling, and Friends with Benefits, starring Justin Timberlake and Mila Kunis. But first, it's this week's comment. In Bad Press, Nicholas Lemon writes about the rules for journalists.
We journalists must be puzzling creatures to the rest of the world. We adore the front page and scoop, which present us as lazy, unprincipled, and hopelessly enthralled to bogus information. Hill D. Johnson befriends a murder suspect who's escaped from jail and hides him inside a roll-top desk in the newsroom so that nobody else can get an interview with him. Great! William Boot gets an exclusive on a coup in the nation of Ishmaelia, because the rest of the press pack has left town on some reportorial fool's errand, and Boot was so hapless that he couldn't manage to join them. Love it! But if journalists enjoy being raffish and self-mocking, what explains our equally powerful inclination, especially in the United States, to bang on portentously about the Founders, the First Amendment, the Fourth Estate, and the people's right to know? Are journalists lovable rogues or human rights crusaders? Or people who have granted themselves the right to switch between these two identities on a whim? One can sense the Murdoch press, now minus one large circulation outlet but otherwise going strong, descending into self-pity about the phone hacking scandal, even as its public statements are alternately contrite and defiant. News Corporation belongs to a region of the press that likes to think of itself as sitting comfortably and unpretentiously within the front-page scoop tradition, in closer touch with public tastes than with establishment ones, and resistant to the self-regard that defines the broadsheet culture. There's a palpable suspicion within the corporation that the outrage over the scandal is a cover for ideological enmity and commercial rivalry. Is there anything to this not quite openly made argument? The answer is related to two issues that correspond to the two halves of the journalistic soul, the scamp and the saint.